Timothy chapter 2, that's toward the back of your Bible. If you find any book that starts with a T, you close, because they're all right there together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. This is Paul's last known letter that we have that he had wrote to Timothy. Timothy was continuing on, much in the same way that Paul did in the work of sharing the gospel. Paul has given Timothy some instruction, some encouragement. But what he's really been talking about in 2 Timothy so far, we've kind of seen a theme, and that is the theme of suffering for the gospel. That Paul talks about the suffering that he is doing for the gospel. And acknowledging, even for Timothy, that it's going to be difficult for Timothy. That it's not always easy to live for Jesus. It's not always easy to carry out the work of God. It's not always popular to preach and teach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was true in Timothy's day, and 2,000 years later, that has not changed. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is still not very popular among many people in the world. And sadly, it's becoming less and less popular even in these United States. Nonetheless, however, Paul is encouraging Timothy to be like a soldier. We saw that in the verses before. Don't get tangled up with things of the world, but be like a soldier who is trained, who is ready to carry out his instructions, whatever God calls us to. We want to be those who are faithful to do the will of God. We want to be like the athlete that Paul referenced, those who are trained and ready for the work that is before us. And so he's really giving Timothy some encouragement, and it's good encouragement for us, because even if we are not preachers or missionaries or in ministry in that way, we still all live for Jesus. We still all, in some way, as believers, we are sharing the gospel with people through the way that we live, and sometimes we may have opportunity to really dig into Scripture. Other times, it may just simply be our acts of love that people see. But those are the opportunities that God gives us to carry out His will and to show other people the love of Christ. And when we show people the love of Christ, that gives us that opportunity many times to tell them about who Jesus is. Now, sometimes we have opportunities to share the love of Christ with people and they don't want to hear it. Sometimes it may be difficult for us. It may be scary. Nonetheless, if God places some opportunity in our life or calls us to serve in some way, we don't want to shy away from that suffering. We want to be faithful, as Paul has encouraged Timothy, to be those who suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, that's a little refresher of what got us to this point. So we'll kind of continue along that same line of thinking tonight. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for your good word. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would encourage us, because, God, sometimes it's hard. It's hard for us to work up the courage to share your word with others, or maybe to pray with others, dear Lord, or to really step out, God, and ask somebody about Jesus or to tell them about Jesus. It shouldn't be hard for us, dear Lord, but the fact of the matter is, it is kind of scary. We don't always know what to say. People don't always react in a good way. And God, I pray that you would help us not to be afraid, but that your Holy Spirit would protect us and guide us and help us in our opportunities to serve, that we would be those who are willing to suffer for you if that's what it takes, dear Lord. And I suspect that there are some times in our life that we do have to suffer. And I pray, God, that we would be faithful to remember why we are suffering, and we're doing it for you, dear Lord. So I pray that you bless the reading of your word. I pray that you'd be glorified tonight. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Keep your attention on Jesus Christ as risen from the dead and descended from David. This is according to my gospel. Okay, so this is real simple instruction. What do we do when life is before us and life is difficult and serving God is difficult and sometimes it involves suffering? What do? Well, Paul gives us good instruction. Keep your attention on Jesus Christ, okay? Life is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy to live for the Lord. Sometimes we really have to fight temptations for things of the world. Sometimes it's really hard for us to do the right thing, the thing that God calls us to. Nonetheless, God tells us what the right thing to do is. He gives us His instruction. It's not always easy to follow those instructions, but when we're on life's journey and life gets difficult and things are getting tough and it's hard to stand up for God and it's hard to avoid those sins and it's hard to stay away from that temptation, we need to remember to keep our attention on Jesus Christ, because it is through Jesus Christ that we will have strength, especially in the context in those situations where we may be suffering for Jesus. Now, maybe we've never experienced this before, or maybe you have, I don't know. But there certainly are brothers and sisters in Christ in the world today who are suffering greatly for Jesus. You can look, you can go back and you can read about some of these people. You can go back and read about Jim Elliot. That's a good one to look up when you go home tonight. You can go home and look up Richard Wurmbrand. That's a great person to look up and read their stories and read some of the stories about those who were with them. I can't think of the guy's name that was with Jim Elliot. There was a movie about him. I think it's called Tip of the Spear. Fantastic movie. And it talks about Jim Elliot and some of these other missionaries. They go to these folks that are totally unreached, and they end up killing them. They end up killing them all. And then eventually, I believe it's Jim Elliot's wife that goes back down and eventually is able to share the gospel with the very people that killed her husband. Beautiful story of people who know that there's going to be great suffering for the Lord, and yet they are willing to suffer for the Lord. But why are they willing to suffer for the Lord? Because their hope is in Jesus Christ. Because they are keeping their attention on Jesus Christ. And what does Paul say that we see when we focus our attention on Jesus Christ? He says, we keep our attention on Jesus Christ as risen from the dead. Okay, so there's our hope, right? It's not like we're sitting here saying, okay, we're going to serve this Jesus and he was nailed to a cross and that was the end of his life and that was it. Well, what kind of Savior would that be worth serving? Well, that wouldn't be a good Savior worth serving. And Paul even acknowledges that. We are to be pitied more than anybody if we were just to serve somebody who died, who has not risen from the dead. But here's what Paul is saying. Keep your attention on Jesus Christ as risen from the dead. As the song says, we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve a dead Savior. So that's where our hope is. We are reminded that Jesus Christ has arose, that He has risen from the dead. And that is our hope. To know that even if we are in the midst of suffering for Jesus Christ, even if it should cost us our very life, even if it's our nieces or nephews or sons or daughters or uncles or aunts or mothers or fathers or whoever it is, people that we may know that are doing the work of God, even should their life be taken in service to the Lord, we still can rejoice. Why? Because they have been serving a risen Savior, and they have died serving a risen Savior, and they themselves have been risen in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says to Timothy, look, it is going to be difficult. I have suffered for the gospel, and you are going to suffer for the gospel if you keep doing this work. Therefore, when the going gets tough, keep your attention on Jesus Christ as risen from the dead and descended from David. Now, I'm not sure exactly why he threw that "and descended from David" here. Perhaps he's simply reminding Timothy of, by the way, this is the Messiah. There was a Messiah that was said to come. He was to come from the line of David. And don't forget that this is him. Don't think that there's another one coming. Even today, I suspect that there are still plenty of people in this world that teach, oh, Jesus hasn't come yet. He's coming. Maybe that's what Paul is saying here. Nope. Here, I'm telling you, I'm reminding you that as you focus on Jesus, know that He is the one. He is the one who come from David. Maybe he's simply saying, look, Jesus suffered and died and has risen from the dead. He's also a descendant of David. That is to say, he is a man just like you are and I am. And he endured these things. And so let that be our example and let that be our motivation. That we serve a Savior who has been through the things that we are going through. And yet he has been victorious. He has been victorious over those who have come against him. He has been victorious over death. So as we serve the Lord, if we suffer for the Lord, then let us keep our attention on Jesus to know that we are not suffering in vain, that Jesus Christ is victorious. And so maybe tonight we need to refocus our attention, whether we're suffering for the Lord in the same way that maybe Timothy was, or maybe there's just some struggles in our life that just kind of lead to some general suffering. This is good advice for that too, that we need to refocus our eyes on Jesus to say, you know what? Jesus has been victorious. Jesus has got this. Jesus is in control here. And so we need to refocus on our one who has the strength that we need in our times of suffering. This is according to my gospel, he says at the end of verse 8. Now, what in the world does that mean, my gospel? Wait a minute. We thought this was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord. What does he mean when he says, my gospel? Well, this is something that he says on a few occasions. I think at least three times Paul says this in the New Testament. He refers to my gospel. Now, is Paul somehow setting himself up as someone special, that he's preaching some unique and special gospel that's not that of Jesus Christ? Well, no, not at all. Paul is certainly one who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe when he says my gospel, he's simply saying, this is the gospel that I have accepted and lived by. It is mine because I have become a follower of Jesus Christ. Perhaps that's what he's saying. Perhaps he's acknowledging that, look, Jesus has revealed himself to me. God has called me to a special task to go to the Gentiles, which was a unique task at the time. You remember, for those of you who come to Sunday school, we've been studying Acts, and we've almost made that transition to Paul. It started out mainly about Peter. We were introduced to Paul. It goes back to Peter for a brief time, and Peter has a similar experience where God reveals to him, okay, my word is going to everybody, the Jew and the Gentile, and then pretty soon the focus is going to go back on Paul. But Paul's focus, his mission was very unique, and that Paul was called to the Gentiles. Now, certainly he was not the only one, but maybe when he says my gospel here, maybe he's saying, look, what my calling is, what God has called me to do. I'm doing this work according to what God called me to do. And this work according to what God called me to do has caused me to suffer, but nonetheless, I am keeping my attention on Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, who is the descendant of David. This, he says, is according to my gospel. Verse 9. I suffer for it to the point of being bound like a criminal, but God's message is not bound. Now, that is a good verse right there. Now, if you read through Scripture, it does not take you long in the New Testament to see that God's people did not want to hear from Jesus. Now, some of them did. I'm not throwing everybody under the bus. Some of them did. But some of them wanted to shut him up. You may remember when we talked about rediscovering God's Word a couple Sundays ago, we talked about Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. What? He didn't want to hear God's Word, right? Jeremiah the prophet had sent the scroll to him, and he began to read it was read to him. He began to cut it off and throw it into the fire. So this idea that God wants to send people to tell those who are going to hear about his goodness, about his mercy, about his grace, to call them to repentance, the idea that people don't want to hear that message is not new. That's in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. Jesus comes. People do not want to hear that message. Eventually, a bunch of them ended up nailing Jesus to the cross. And so here, the apostles follow in Jesus' footsteps. And while we don't know exactly what happened to all of them, history tells us that most of them died doing the work that God called them to. Here we have this example of Paul, who is continuing to do the work of the Lord and who is suffering in the work of the Lord. And so the fact that people do not want to hear the gospel is nothing new, and it's not new today. It has not changed. There are certainly plenty of people in our world today, even some, believe it or not, right here in Liberty, Mississippi. There are some people here that do not want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, praise the Lord, we're still in a good spot where we don't get thrown in jail for preaching sermons like this tonight or telling people we see about Jesus. But there are plenty of places in the world where that's not the case. But what does Paul say? He says, I suffer for it. What? For the gospel of Jesus, to the point of being bound like a criminal. So Paul, he's saying, look, I know what it means to suffer. I've been imprisoned. I've been bound. I've been treated like a criminal. I know what it means to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the people who are coming against me are trying to keep this message suppressed. They don't want the message to get out. Sounds familiar? Yep, it should. We see it in our world today. People in our world today do not want the gospel of Jesus Christ to get out. They do not want God's word to be read. They do not want Christians to have a say. They do not want the name of Jesus spoken. This is what's going on in our world today. We are up against it more and more. We hear more and more against it. Our world does not want to hear about Jesus. Now, I'll give you one praise report to the opposite of that. I had a good experience this past Tuesday. The school asked me to come and speak to the elementary students, and I say, praise the Lord for that. Now, I don't know how often they do that. Maybe every week, if I'm not mistaken. But they teach these kids the Word of God. They let them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That is the most important foundation, way more important than the math and the science and the English and all those things. While those things are important, if they are not being taught the Word of God, then they are off to a bad start. Praise the Lord. There are still places in our world and schools in our world where people have the opportunity to hear the Word of the Lord. But the world does not want the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God spoken. But what does Paul say? But God's message is not bound. They can bound the messengers. They can kill God's people. They can kill the ones bringing the message. They can imprison the ones bringing the message. And they have for 2,000 years. And here tonight in 2024, I am standing here preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And should Jesus Christ not return in 2,000 more years, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be somebody standing behind pulpits all around the world, in living rooms all around the world, in school campuses all around the world, and they are going to be preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will not be bound. We need to remember that. We need not lose hope. Sometimes it may look like, oh, we're losing the battle. I can promise you, as I'm standing here, that God's word will continue to reign true. But God uses us, you and me, to carry out His work and to teach people His word. And so it's important that we listen to instructions like this. Okay, it's tough. Okay, God wants us to keep on doing the work. It's not always easy to do the work. It's not well received in the Old Testament. It's not well received in the New Testament. It's not well received in 2024. But nonetheless, what does God call us to? He calls us to do the work. And we need to remember to be faithful to do that. Verse 10. This is why I endure all things for the elect, so they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. All right, this is a good verse. So Paul says, I've suffered, I've been in prison, I'm bound, the message is not bound. And why do I keep doing this? Why do I put myself through all of this imprisonment, all of these things that I put myself through, all of this suffering? He says, because people need to hear the word. There are those that God wants to save. There are souls that God wants to bring to salvation through Jesus Christ. And how can they be saved if somebody does not tell them the word? Here's a good scripture for us to look at tonight. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says this, but how can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? What is Paul saying? He says, look, there are people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am the one who's going to tell them that. Because if we don't tell them, those who are in Christ Jesus, if we are not willing to tell people about Jesus, then who else is going to tell them? Well, It's God's people that he calls to tell them. Now, certainly God can work in miraculous ways through the Holy Spirit. People can stumble upon the Word of God. But it's God's people who are going to have the biggest impact and the biggest opportunity to reach other people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, look, I have a mission. I've been sent because there are some who are going to accept Jesus Christ, and they need to be told about who Jesus is. Verse 11. This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. All right, this is going to take a little unpacking here for us to kind of try to figure out what this is saying. For the most part, it's pretty simple, apart from that last verse. So he gives Timothy this instruction. He gives him this call. He says, look, you're going to suffer. And he gives him what I would call here both a word of encouragement and a word of warning. Now, these are good things if you do the right thing, but they are bad things if you do the wrong thing. What's the first one he says there? For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Now, we can presume there that the opposite is also true. If we have died with Christ, that is, we have died to ourselves, we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we have said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I come before you because the wages of sin is death, and in my sin I will die. So I die to myself, I die with you, I lay aside my old self, and therefore, if we have died with Jesus, we will also live with him. Praise the Lord. That's good instruction. But what if we have not died with Jesus? What if we have not given Jesus our sins? What if we have not repented? What if we have not made him our Lord and Savior? What if we have not died to our sins, to ourselves? Well, then we're not going to live with him. The only way we receive eternal life is through Jesus Christ. And if we have not come to Jesus Christ, then we are not going to receive eternal life. So if we have died with Christ, we will live with him. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we look at Christ as one who has been raised from the dead. Okay, this is good encouragement if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's good news for us today, brothers and sisters in Christ. If we've trusted in Jesus, we have eternal life. If you have not trusted in Jesus, you do not have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. And one day, we'll stand before God in judgment. And what a scary day that's going to be. We'll either be with God for all of eternity, or we'll be separated from God for all of eternity. We'll go to heaven or we'll go to hell. Those are the two options. If we have died with Christ, we will live with Christ. If we have not died with Christ, we will be separated from Christ. All right, verse 12. For if we endure, we will also reign with him. Okay, well, that's pretty easy to understand. If we endure what? Well, in the context, what is he talking about? Enduring the suffering for doing the work of Jesus. It's not easy to live for Jesus. We have to fight through it. It's tough to do the right thing sometimes. It's tough to follow the commands of God because the temptations of the world are pulling at us, and the temptation of sin is pulling at us, and it's not always easy to live for the Lord. It's not always easy to take a stand for the Lord. Sometimes it leads to suffering, and we have to endure. That's what the Bible calls us to. It calls us to endure. What does Paul say? He says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Praise the Lord. Jesus is victorious. If we continue to trust in him and endure through the suffering and not turn back, then we will be victorious. We will be with Jesus for all of eternity. We will reign with him. We won't have to worry about our sin anymore. Pretty self-explanatory. But what if we don't endure? Well, it stands to reason that if we endure, we will reign with him. That is to say, if we do not endure, that we will not reign with him. Now, we're seeing this played out for us in the book of Hebrews. What we see is a group of Jewish Christians who are not enduring. They are being tempted to stop enduring. They are those who are suffering, and the author of Hebrews is essentially doing the same thing that Paul is doing here by telling them, keep your attention on Jesus Christ. That's what the author of Hebrews is saying. Why? Because in their suffering, they are not enduring, and they're wanting to give up. And so if they do not endure, then they're not going to reign with Jesus Christ. But if we do endure, praise the Lord. This is a good, encouraging word. This is what we need to be encouraged by when we're suffering in our struggle with sin and suffering with people who are coming against us, that we want to be those who endure so that we can be those who reign with Him. All right, the next part of verse 12 here. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Okay, well, it stands to reason there. If we don't deny Jesus, then He will not deny us. If we say, nope, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to deny Him under any circumstances, then He's not going to deny us. But what if we do deny Jesus? Well, that's a scary thing. What does Paul say? If we deny Jesus, He will also deny us. And so he's given Timothy both some encouragement and some warning that as long as we are faithful to Jesus Christ and obedient to Jesus Christ and trust in Jesus Christ and have died with Jesus, we will live with Him. And if we endure, we will reign with Him. And if we don't deny Him, He won't deny us. But if we deny Jesus, He will deny us. And what other hope is there? If we deny Jesus, what other hope is there? There is no more hope. So Paul says, look, you're going to have to suffer, but remember these things. Now, it appears as though this is some type of saying. I don't really know where it comes from. It's not a scripture. But Paul appears to be quoting something that is known. Maybe it's just some kind of Christian creed or something of the day. I'm not sure. But this is something, obviously, that Timothy would have been aware of. And these are good words, good instructions, and good warnings for us tonight. All right, verse 13. This one is a little more difficult. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Okay, so what are we to make of that verse? Well, there's a couple of ways that we could take that verse. Maybe the most popular way that you usually will hear that verse, and maybe you use it in this way, is to say that no matter what we do, if we are faithless, that is, if we lose our faith in Jesus, we have nothing to worry about. Why? Because if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. That is to say that if we've put faith in Jesus Christ and we've received the Holy Spirit, even if we lose our faith and we are no longer faithful, that God remains faithful to us. Now, that's probably the most popular interpretation. However, I don't know that that's the correct interpretation. It might be. And if you hold that view, you could be correct in that. That is one view, a very popular view. We'll talk about a couple of more. However, that doesn't really seem to even fit the context of the rest of the verses. Because just before in the verse, he says, if you deny Him, He will also deny you. So that would seem to kind of contradict. Okay, wait a minute. So if I deny Jesus, He'll deny me. But then the next verse, but I can lose my faith and God will remain faithful. Well, that doesn't really seem to make sense. And I don't think that that fits the context. However, that could be the correct interpretation. Another interpretation could be that, well, sometimes even as Christians, we are faithless in the sense that we doubt, not in the sense that we've lost faith in Jesus, not in the sense that we say, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't trust in Jesus, I'm done with Jesus, not in that sense. But there are times that our faith is weak. There are times that we really don't have faith at all. There are times where doubt and fear may get the better of us. And maybe that's what it's talking about. That even if Timothy is suffering, even if there are days where he fails, God is still going to remain faithful. That God knows that we are human, that God knows that we are going to doubt, that God knows that we are going to fear. And even if our faith wavers, that is not to say that if we lose our faith completely in Jesus, but if our faith wavers for a moment, that God remains faithful even in those times, because God cannot deny Himself. That's another possible interpretation. I think that one probably has some strength to it. That seems to fit a little bit into the context. There's also a third, and there may be more. I'm just telling you these that I believe are probably the main three. There's also a third interpretation. That is to say that God is always going to remain faithful to his plan and to carry out his plan. That is to say, okay, Timothy, you've been called to do this work. I've been called to do this work. But even if we fail, even if those that we go speak to fail, even if people begin to deny Jesus and forget who he is and nobody's turning to Jesus, and even those who are called to preach and teach stop preaching and teaching, even if everybody loses their faith, God will remain faithful. That is to say, God's not just going to give up. God's not just going to say, well, I tried, I had a plan in place, and it's falling apart, and nobody's remaining faithful to me, so I'm just going to give up. Nope. God's plan is always going to come to fruition. God always remains faithful to his plan and to the faithful remnant, no matter how unfaithful they become. Now, that's not to say the unfaithful are saved forever or that they're not going to face any punishment. We certainly see examples in the Old Testament where God brings some big judgment. You remember those folks that God opened up the ground and swallowed them up, them and all their families? We see examples of people like this that rebelled against God. We see when God lets his people be taken into captivity, where he lets enemies come in and overtake them, where he kills them in the wilderness by snakes because of their disobedience. Those who are disobedient and rebel, God brings judgment on them. But even though some along the way are faithless and not all come to faith and trust in God, God's plan has never stopped. God has remained faithful from the get-go. God's people have been rotten and been wicked, and there have been some who have trusted him and who have turned on him and who have been faithless, and even still, God is faithful from beginning to end. So even if Timothy should fail, God is going to remain faithful. God's word will always prevail. And perhaps that's the interpretation. That would seem to fit too in the context, that if we are faithless, that is to say, God's plan is not dependent on us. It is dependent on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was faithful to God and accomplished the will of God. So even if it looks like everybody in the world is as rotten as they can be, that's not going to change the plan of God, because God cannot deny himself. This is said another way, and maybe another verse helps us to understand this. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. What then? If some were unfaithful, will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Okay, that's exactly, I believe, what Paul is saying here. If some are unfaithful, that doesn't nullify God's faithfulness. That's not going to change who God is. If some are unfaithful, will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Absolutely not. Let God be true, even though everyone is a liar. Now, I think that's probably in the context of what Paul is talking about here, since he used very similar language there in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. That is to say that God is going to be faithful to his plan until the end. But wouldn't it be better if we were those who were faithful to God, if we were those who endured, if we were those who did not deny Jesus Christ but rejoiced in Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be better if we were those who died to our sin and who died in Jesus Christ and are raised to be with him and to live forever? Wouldn't it be better if we are those who do what is right and who stay strong in the faith? Therefore, full circle back to where we started, let us keep our attention on Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the plan of God. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the plan of God. Jesus Christ is the salvation that comes to those who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul tells Timothy, it is Jesus who we serve. It is Jesus who we suffer for. And even if our suffering gets intense and ends in death, it is Jesus who will raise us to life for all of eternity. That is our hope today, that we keep our attention on Jesus in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering for the gospel. We keep our eyes on Jesus to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel that will never be thwarted, a gospel that will never be stopped, a gospel that will always be spread. Let us as brothers and sisters in Christ be faithful in our generation to continue to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We thank you for your good word. I pray that you would help us to grow in it tonight. I pray that you would help us to focus our attention on Jesus. Maybe some of us tonight need to refocus. We need to kind of get things back into focus, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us to do so. Dear Lord, maybe there's just some struggling and some pain and some hardships in our life, and we just need to remember that our strength comes through Jesus. Dear Lord, maybe there are some today that you have called to share your word, to share the love of Jesus, to serve you in some way. And it's scary and it's difficult, and maybe they're facing some opposition. But God, I pray that you would help them to continue to be strong, that they would continue to suffer for you, to do your work and to do your will. God, help us to be those who would die to ourselves, who would give our sins to Jesus Christ, who has died for us, dear Lord, so that we would live with him. Let us be those, dear Lord, who endure in the midst of living for you. Let us be those, dear Lord, who do not deny Jesus, but who stay strong in the faith, dear Lord. If we are some tonight that our faith is weak and we doubt and we fear, I pray that you would strengthen that, dear Lord. We need you, because there are some days, dear Lord, that our faith is not what it should be. But dear Lord, we thank you that you are in control and that your plans, dear Lord, are not dependent on us. Because God, we are a bunch of failures. But dear Lord, even though your plans aren't dependent on us, you call us to be part of your plan. You do call us to serve. You do call us to share your gospel with others, dear Lord. Jesus has done everything that was needed, God. Everything was dependent on him. So let us, dear Lord, trust him and continue to share him with the world. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.